right, I'll equip you and I'll give you the words to say. And God also warned him that everyone would be against him. Jeremiah did answer God's call to a difficult leadership task. And his job was to call people to turn away from worshipping idols and back to worshipping God. And the other prophets, as you heard in the reading, they quoted each other, they told lies, and they said, well, the words I'm telling you come from God. And they didn't. And they told the people that everything was going to be okay. They gave the people false hope, but they gave the people what they wanted to hear. That was Jeremiah. Let's jump forward a little bit to the year of 2013. Back then, if you'd asked our British friends and relatives, do you think that you Brits would ever elect as Prime Minister a man who had a reputation for being dishonest, duplicitous, self-centered, lazy, a womanizer, a man who regularly scapegoated and demonized people who were not white Anglo-Saxon Protestants? What would our British friends and relatives say? I'm quite sure they would say, certainly not. If we ask the parallel question to our American family and friends, I believe we get the same definite, of course not. But here we are, 2019, with Trump and Johnson as president and prime minister respectively. What happened? We didn't see this coming. Luke reports Jesus saying, as you heard this morning, look, you can look at the earth and the sky and predict the weather. Why then don't you know the meaning of this present time? Boy, is that ever salutary. You know, if you go back over that reading from Jeremiah, you could just change one word in there. Replace the word prophet with the word politician. Every politician, whether they want to or not, challenges us to consider what is important, what it is that we believe. And they have a difficult job, but it's crucial. It's also easy to get off track. I've heard it reported more than once that our upcoming federal election, what's that, October the 21st, is it? Yeah, that's quite soon. It's going to be nasty, full of personalized attack ads and slander, perhaps even calculatedly misleading statements. I think maybe the Liturgical Commission, when they gave us the readings for today, had a devious plan in mind to wake us up ready for the election. But as people who try to live the Christian way, how can we hold on to Jesus' advice in these turbulent times? He said that we should be as cautious as snakes and as gentle as doves. And I believe this means that we're to be alert, mentally present with it. Avoid coming off from a paranoid or a defensive or a combative stance. Be alert, be with it. St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome when he was instructing the congregation on their involvement in civic duties, and he sort of gave an overarching comment. He said, do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Later, Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, and he advised them to put on the mind of Christ. Well, I think we all try and do this, particularly when we come from a perspective of knowing that God loves us, that Jesus has invited us into a life of abundance, not scarcity. We start with this faith perspective, and we look at America and at Britain. They're both officially Christian countries. We see they've recently moved in a direction that I don't think we expected, couldn't predict it. To better understand this, we need to consider the style of leadership we see on display in the United Kingdom, in the United States, and of course elsewhere in the world now. And I ask you to focus not on their policies, not on the truth or the lack thereof of what they say, but on the tactics those men use in leadership, our friends Johnson and Trump. No, this is not gin. The first tactic that they use is fear. Do you remember Trump saying, we're getting swamped with illegal immigrants and they're rapists and murderers and violent criminals coming in from Mexico? Remember him saying that? Johnson said basically that we're getting swamped with these immigrants. Just swamping and coming in, as long as we're in the EU, they're going to basically overtake the country. And yet, in Wednesday's Guardian, somebody called Jeanette Walker, who's a community activist in El Paso, Texas, we all know what happened in El Paso, she wrote saying, wherever the migrants come from, they are part of us. We take care of them. Some people hate that we're taking care of people from other countries that they demonize. I think she put it beautifully. Targeting a person's fear is very manipulative. I have a relative in England who's been caught in this fear-based perspective. She voted for Britain to leave the European Union. At the same time, in her business of providing home care for homebound seniors, she relies on non-British-born staff to cover shifts. Eastern Europeans, Asians, will always take an extra shift if she asks them to. Not so the Brits. My relative needs the immigrants or her business can't function, and yet she wants immigrants out of England. Fear overrides reality, so often the case when we feel vulnerable to change. The second tactic is anger. Johnson kept saying that when we leave the European Union, we're going to have £350 million each week to properly fund the National Health Service. Later, after the vote, he said, well, actually, I didn't have the right facts. He sure didn't. Remember Trump saying that NAFTA is one of the worst multilateral deals ever? America's been taken advantage of by Canada and Mexico. Telling people that they're being ripped off by them tries to tap into any residual prejudice, any fear-based anger we might have picked up. The third tactic you see used is keeping listeners off balance by unpredictably switching back and forth between charming and insulting. Also using words and voice tones that don't fit the emotion displayed. And finally, the tactic of what I call summarizing. Remember Trump saying, I'm the only one who can drain the swamp. I'll get rid of the alien people that anger and frighten you. Give me your unswerving loyalty. I'm coming to your rescue. We've heard recently in the USA and in Britain, leaders who ask people, trust me, I'll lead you back to the good old times. I'll make America great again. I'll return to good old England, free again. Let's return to the golden age that never was. And the moon is made of cheddar cheese. Now, this final tactic of summarizing things could not be further from the truth of the Christian way. You all remember Julian of Norwich writing at a terrible time in England's history. She put our faith direction beautifully. She wrote, if I look at myself, I am nothing. But if I look at us all, I'm hopeful. For I see the unity of love among my fellow Christians. In this unity lies our salvation. Jeanette Walker saying, they are part of us. We take care of them. So, this is a nasty question, but how vulnerable are you and I to manipulation? I don't think any of us like to think we can be conned. When we listen to leaders encouraging us, and something happens, they appear to be provoking fear or anger, or they leave us confused, we need to be very alert. And I believe this alert caution will serve us well as Christians as the federal election comes closer by the day. And please consider that already in Canada, we have two provincial premiers who talk Trump-Johnson language. You know, in many ways, we're similar to our American and our British friends. They didn't see the wave coming. Can we clear our vision and look at the near horizon? This is a real call to wake up and be alert. As Jesus advised, be as cautious as snakes and as gentle as doves. Alert, mentally present. I read an article in National Geographic recently that said, xenophobia is mushrooming worldwide. No point pretending this is not happening. I think we have to face something rather unpleasant, that xenophobia, fear, hate of strangers and immigrants and people who appear not to be like us, is here in Victoria. Perhaps there's much more that we don't want to find under the surface. Did you see CTV News on Monday evening? A busker at the Inner Harbour was interviewed. I think he asked to be interviewed. He was obviously Spanish speaking. He was singing songs in Spanish, and some guy came up to him pretending to be an immigration officer and demanded to see his papers. That's why he wanted it on the news. And the commentator said, you know, basically, is this the only time it's happened to you? Oh, no. I'm sort of getting used to this. That's in Victoria. Remember, they are part of us. We take care of them. Perhaps you already know that this congregation has already taken some very healthy steps in the Christian way, the way that faces down xenophobia. Do you remember what happened on August the 13th, 2017? I didn't either. I had to ask for help. That was the day we hosted a welcome meal for some Muslim refugees that we'd helped get out of Syria. Several members of St. Philip continue to visit and to assist those family members feel more and more at home in Canada. And this is the way to move Victoria away from racism and xenophobia. It's truly transforming to sit down and eat simple meals with people from different cultures. I think you know as well as I do that Jews and Muslims and Christians all have teaching in our faith that we're to be hospitable, to welcome strangers. And perhaps in this context, you remember St. John writing in his first letter that perfect love casts out fear. We can't have too much of this love. I wonder, is it possible that God is calling us to build on St. Philip's amazing beginning? What if this network grew, including neighbors from other faiths and from other churches? What if we developed a practice of eating simple meals with former strangers? And we got to know them as friends, as companion people of faith, not maybe the same faith as us, but we respect their faith as they respect ours. Again, as Jeanette Walker said, they are part of us, we take care of them. And the truth is also, they take care of us. Together, I believe we're called to this way of community, and I think it's a wonderful blessing.